Talking about schools a little here, picking up on some other conversations we've had this week. Lots been going on. Okay, so you've heard Chicago Public Schools is taking a look at when they should reopen. They've set some dates for special ed and pre-K to go back, kindergarten. And then they're sort of trying to unveil some other plans that about when kids will be back in the classroom, at least when they'll have the option to. I don't think you're forced to go back in. They just did that parent survey. Parents could fill it out and say, yes, I do intend to have my kid back in school when their time is happening, or not. You can opt out. So that kind of thing was happening. Now, today, the story is that the CTU, the Teachers Union, released a list of demands for reopening CPS, and it's significant because it doesn't seem like they're very close together in terms of where they are with CPS in negotiating that return. And CTU is saying, well, we need all these things to be met before that happens. So will the CPS plans go forward, and when will they? I know other school districts across the state have also sort of looked at CPS to say, well, what are they doing, and kind of follow suit in some cases. Let's talk to Paul Vallis. He used to run CPS, the Chicago Public Schools CEO, and very familiar with education issues. Paul, how are you this afternoon?
Fine, thank you.
What do you make?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being on. It's a, you know, we talk about this a lot. It's an important issue. It's a polarizing issue. It can be an emotional issue when you talk about all the stresses on teachers, on schools, on administrators, on students right now, dealing with remote learning that is not working for so many. And how do you return safely? You know, you can put the best plans in place, and yet it isn't satisfactory to some folks. You're seeing that with the CTU right now. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the CTU is trying to exploit the issue, and I believe they never intended on opening, and they're not intending on opening now. And I've looked at the demands that they're making. I mean, my God, you know, they're setting certain standards that simply can't be reached. They want priority in the vaccinations. They want a large number of students tested on a regular basis. And, you know, they're setting, like, the infection rates, if they reach a certain bar so low in the surrounding area, and, of course, if the infection rates are above the bar, which they are, very wide above the bar currently, then of course schools can't open, despite the fact that the data has pretty much proven that the infection rates among children and faculty and adults who work in the schools are significantly lower than the infection rates in the community. So they have no intent on opening, and why should they? I mean, they have the richest contract they've ever had in their history. The salary increases that they're getting are going to increase their salaries over the next 4 years anywhere from 25% to 50%. There's been no layoffs. There's been no furloughing. There are no financial consequences. Meanwhile, the overwhelming vast majority of the children are suffering because remote learning isn't working, and remote learning does serious damage to very young children. And, you know, we've got on any daily basis, we've got 100,000 high school kids walking the street. I mean, is that any surprise that through November 10th, the last full data I have, 103 individuals 19 years and under have been murdered, and 567 shot in the street of Chicago. The murder rate of young people is 25 times the rate, the fatality rate of COVID-19. So keeping the schools closed in defiance of the science and in defiance of the experience of other schools across the nation and across the world that have reopened, and in defiance of the research that tells you that remote learning does serious damage, that having kids not in on-site learning is very damaging, I think it's the ultimate educational malpractice, and I think it's punishing the poor children and it's punishing working families.
You know, we talked to someone from Chalkbeat yesterday. They did this in-depth study. They looked at Chicago and they looked at other major cities too. But what they found was the same thing in each of these big city school districts, is that the number of kids failing this year is way up. Kids are failing. They're not engaging.
Absolutely.
They're not even logging in at all. We heard from teachers, and the story points this out too. Teachers who are knocking on doors, making repeated phone calls to say, where are they? I can't even connect with this child, with this student. And there are lots of reasons for that, right? There are some terribly troubling reasons for that. And then there are some reasons where they're just sort of disengaged and they're not getting the sort of virtual learning. It isn't working for
some. Anna, here's a couple of statistics for you. The enrollment in pre-K, and pre-K is so critically important, particularly for poor children, because so much of the brain development occurs in those early years. Mm-hmm. All the research points to that direction. And incidentally, all the pediatricians and child care experts say, remote learning in excess of like an hour a day can be very destructive on children whose brains are rapidly developing, their social emotional skills, their motor skills, all those type of things. But preschool enrollment is down 44% for black children, 30% for Latino children. Over 90% of these children are low income. That's going to have a catastrophic consequences. I mean, what happens in those critical early years has a lasting impact on children. So serious, serious damage is being done right now. So at the end of the day, schools have opened safely and comfortably. There has not been a spike. The data points out that schools are not virus spreaders by any stretch of the imagination, but yet the teachers union is simply digging in. And let me tell you, CPS's plan to reopen is a halfway measure because, you know, it's still going to take 2 months for the elementary school kids to go back to school. And then with the model they have for reopening, you're still going to have tens of thousands of high school students, many of them on the verge of dropping out, walking the streets of Chicago. And, you know, only 1 in 6 black and Latino parents can work remotely. And there's been a 34% decline in employment among low-income workers. So working families are being punished. And part of the reason there's been such an exodus is in part the fact that these single mothers who make up the majority of the households, who lead the majority of households in the Chicago public schools, either have to leave their kids home alone or they have to quit their jobs to stay home and take care of their kids. So there's absolutely no reason why schools can't be open, why they can't follow the Catholic school model.
What was that number you said about preschool? You had a number about
preschool how was 44%. 44% black children, 30% Latino children decline. That's catastrophic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need universal preschool, particularly for low-income children. For nutritional reasons, for healthcare reasons, early literacy, early numeracy, you know that.
Those numbers really shocked me because they're much higher than I thought. I mean, I've heard from friends who have kids in preschool, they say it just doesn't work. The kids don't sit in front of the computer all day and just learn. I mean, that's just not how preschoolers do it. I feel for the teachers who are trying to do that because I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
they just sort of hide under the table, walk away, whatever. It's not working on that level. And you're right. They do tend to be, the least likely to get severe illness or spread it. That's what we've seen in the data that we have so far. So it does seem as if there should be some urgency around them, around special ed, and you are hearing that from Chicago Public Schools. We got to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah. You know, if I have a second, let me just give you a couple of statistics from the CDC. Under 20, the survival rate, if you catch it, and I've had COVID, and my sons, who are first responders, have had COVID, and we recovered. 99.997% survival rate for those who get it under the age of 20. 99.98% survival rate ages 20 to 50. And incidentally, 70% of the teachers are in that age group. Now, no one is saying that if you have pre-existing conditions, you should not be allowed to teach remotely or not return to school. We're not talking about that. And certainly following reasonable CDC guidelines, and when you reopen schools, they need to be followed. But the bottom line is what the CTU is doing is hurting working families, and the CTU, which had the audacity to call the reopening of schools racist, misogynist, and sexist, mm-hmm. Well, when you close schools that adversely impact low-income families, poor minority children, and the vast majority of households that are led by single mothers, then what you're doing is racist, misogynist, and sexist.
They need
to get these schools open.
There's a lot of verbiage there. I mean, I'm caring about the kids here. I'm caring about our teachers. I'd love to hear from you, too, if you are an educator. Paul, can you hang on for a second? Because we can pick this up on the other side, and we want to hear from you, too. 312-981-7200. If you're in the system, if you're a teacher or a parent, you have views about what's going on here, call into the show, 312-981-7200. We're talking about how the teachers union is at odds right now with CPS and the city about plans to reopen. They issued a list of demands to say we're not there yet, and it's unclear when they will be there. Let's go to the phones here and hear from some of you. Dan, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Hey, I love your show. Love
Thank
John
you.
Williams' show. One of the biggest reasons why the Catholic school model is working versus the public schools, and it's not just Chicago public schools, it's suburbanites, is that the Catholic school teachers are not unionized. If they don't want to come to work, they'll just find someone to replace them. With the public schools, it's all about the union. The union and the dues and the union controlling the teachers.
Dan, how does that go, though?
Catholic schools work.
If you have an underlying condition, they don't fire you for that, though, right? Is that happening?
No. I would say not fire them, but until it is safer or they feel safe to come back, get someone to fill in for them, a substitute teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's all kinds of teachers out there. There's all kinds of people looking for jobs.
Well, the one thing you're right.
You can have the kids in the class. You can have the teacher working remotely, teaching remotely with some type of aide or substitute teacher in the classroom controlling things.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic school model works.
Yeah,
it's
and I know.
Unions that are destroying everything.
Thank you, Dan, for your thoughts here. I want to go to you real quick because we've got Paul Vallis here with us, too, before we go back to the phone lines. I know that what has happened in the Catholic schools is looked at as a model because they're trying to follow the data of what happened there to decide about safely reopening, and he's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, let me give you some statistics again, and I'm driven by the facts, as always, driven by the science, and the union has been ignoring the science. Look, there's 20,000 students, 2,700 teachers, in the Catholic, Chicago Catholic schools. Not in the Catholic schools in totality. I'm talking about just the ones in Chicago. And they've had 29 cases of students getting infected. That's out of 20,000 students. And 20 cases of staff getting infected. That's out of 2,700 teachers. Now you tell me, it seems to me that the schools are the absolute safest place, for the children to be. Let me point out that no one is saying that if you've got pre-existing conditions, you should not go to, that you should go to school, you should be put in harm's way, or for that matter, if you test positive, you shouldn't be quarantined, etc. You need to follow those procedures, and certainly the Catholic schools have done that. But the schools are the safest place for these kids to be. And when you look at the suicide rates, the opioid addictions, the social emotional problems, the number of kids who are getting killed on the streets of Chicago, in part because they're not in school and they're being caught in harm's way, and the risk of not reopening school is far greater. Clearly, the data supports the reopening of schools. Schools are the safest and most secure places for these kids to be.
Hang on a second. I want to go to Greg. Greg, go ahead. Okay. You're on WGN. Let's hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hey. Thank you. And I agree with the gentleman who was just speaking. There is so much data that confirms this. However, please understand it. I think it's misguided to make a broad stroke judgment that it has to do with the teachers or it has to do with the unions. My wife is a teacher in the public schools in Flossmoor. Mm-hmm. And even though we don't live there, she wanted to go back. And it was not a decision that the teachers had really much say in. The administration, so the school board, and there are no teachers that sit on the school board, they were the ones who decided, along with the superintendent, to shut it down. Now, if they do want to go back, keep in mind that they took a poll, and two-thirds of the parents, and this is a predominantly, in this portion of Flossmoor, it is predominantly African-American. They did not want to send their kids back to school. So now you have all these elementary classes, and you have to double up on the teachers because you have to have remote learning and in-person learning.
That's
so they
thing.
Simply don't have the staff to do that.
Yeah. Greg, I hear you. Hold on one second, Paul, because I do want to hear from a teacher here, because that's exactly
absolutely.
What I'm hearing from teachers all the time is that the enormous extra burden put on them here. There's this big deal. Let's hear from Doreen. You're on WGN. Hey, Doreen.
Hi, Anna.
Hey.
I teach third grade in CPS, and I would love to go back to school, but the safety issue, yeah, there's all that statistics, but how about there's teachers who are afraid because guess what? Our class sizes are not comparable to the Catholic schools. Our class sizes are 32 and up. That's 32 and up. And according to the guidelines, you're supposed to sit 6 feet apart, and everybody's supposed to be 6 feet apart when they come in and when they go out. But if you have 32 students in your classroom, let's do the math. There are not enough spaces and desk space to do that.
Right.
So that would be a safety issue.
Right.
Again, I would love to go back to school. Also, you can't just get another teacher. Our schools don't have the money to just get another teacher. And a substitute, that's another body that you have to worry about of where you're going to put them. And so, this all sounds wonderful.
Hang on, Doreen. Let's hear from Paul on some of that, because you raised some excellent points. There's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison on everything Catholic versus CPS.
Look, the union opposed the hybrid model, which was designed to limit the number of kids to like a 1-to-10 ratio. They were talking about the education pod, so you would, in fact, not have class sizes of 1 to 32, okay? The union also opposed them reopening schools early on just for preschoolers and children with special needs. In fact, the union didn't want clerks returning to empty buildings to work. So,
right.
Come on now. We're not talking about CPS has never called for a widespread opening of schools. And what I've said over and over again, and the district is partially at fault here too, is there's no reason why you can't create synchronous learning environments where a teacher can teach students who are in the classroom while students can also be at home learning remotely online at the same time simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's done all the time, so there's no excuse. And I want to make one more point.
Okay, Paul, you're going to be on for a while. I do want to get a couple more calls in, but go ahead. Final point there, and then we're going to move on to some other subjects.
Yeah, my final point is, when you go to the website for the Chicago Public Schools, go to the website, and they have one teacher for every 19 students, and they have one employee for every 9 students. Now, I'm suggesting revisiting and reexamining how those resources are allocated. It's something that needs to be done, too. But CPS, and I'm not defending CPS, they've never called for a complete reopening of schools. Their model has been designed to ensure that there's social distancing and that there's limited ratio of teachers to staff,
mm-hmm.
so students.
Hey, just quickly, Doreen, just as a teacher, the burden on you right now, I mean, just speak to that. Just give me a few seconds about what that's like for those of us who I'm feeling for you, and I just wonder.
Well, I mean, remote is hard, but doing both remote and in person, which I, again, would love, we don't have the technology, nor do the buildings. I know CPS and blah, blah, blah. The buildings don't have the technology to buy the things so we could interact with both. We're going to have to. We were told we have to, which we'll make it work.
Yeah.
But again, what you see statistically and what actually happens is a lot different. And there are teachers who are scared because they are concerned for their safety, and they're concerned for their safety of their students. And it all seems like on paper it would be wonderful, but in reality, there's a lot of unknown.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Doreen. Let's go to Jordan, make sure we get you on here. Go ahead, Jordan. You're on WGN.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I think what we're seeing here is an oversimplification of a really complex issue, that teachers unions exist because the labor and the health of teachers has been exploited historically and continues to be. The inequities we're seeing made worse by COVID have always been there. So I think we have a choice. We have a choice where to lay the pressure, right? Where to put the pressure, and we should be asking for more assistance, more technology, more space, more healthcare, but to lay all of this at the feet of teachers. Listen, I know a lot of teachers, and there is not a single one that I know who is thriving right now, loving remote learning and wanting it to continue.
Right.
We want schools to be open. We want them to be open safely. There's nothing better than a bustling classroom full of active learners, and we want that. We want that. A power of in-person instruction, but we need it safely. We need it safely. And we need, we can't pretend to be concerned about all these things that have been, historically happening.
Right.
Jordan, I do.
And it's an important point, because you can't say the whole thing is wrong. It's just, I think, speak to the point, though, of the children who are suffering during all this and that really need to be back in the classroom. Can't we make it safe for them to be there?
Absolutely. I think there are ways to do that. But the way that, just as Doreen was just talking about, our schools are not equipped to do that right now. We can't open tomorrow. We can make steps, of course. And there are students hurting, but there's ways to do, remote learning well. There are lots of, schools who are feeding and supplying their students with everything they need to be successful. It is not ideal. It is not ideal. We do need to work towards safe opening, because there is nothing better than in-person learning.
No.
The sacrifice we're all making right now.
I hear you, Jordan, and I appreciate your call so much and hearing your experience and your thoughts on that. Paul, we really have 1 minute to sort of wrap up here. So
I'm not blaming Rank and file teachers. There's 4 teachers in my family. There's six first responders. So I'm not blaming the teachers at all. I am blaming the union leadership because, let's face it, it's the same union that elected to strike for 14 days after getting the most expensive contract offer ever. It's the same union that threatened to strike again to force the schools to go fully remote when the schools wanted to limit their opening and they wanted to create these education pods and these flexible hybrid schedules. And it's the same union that's threatening to strike again or hinting at striking again, despite the fact that they only want to gradually bring the kids back, and the vast majority of the high school kids will probably continue to either learn remotely or mm-hmm. continue to walk the streets of the dangerous streets of Chicago. So at the end of the day, this is not criticizing the teachers, but the fact remains that schools with much less funding than Chicago and with the similar challenges have reopened all over the country mm-hmm. safely without kids getting infected, without teachers yeah. getting infected. The bottom line is schools need to get open.
Paul, I appreciate your thoughts, and you obviously have thought a lot about this kind of thing, so it's good to get your perspective. Paul Vallis, former CEO of Chicago Public Schools. Have a good weekend, okay? Hello to the family.
You too.